Welcome to Booking the Territory, a pro wrestling podcast hosted by Mike Mills and Doc Turner. This podcast is all about what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. And now, here's your host, Mike Mills.
Welcome back, Booking the Territory fans, and thank you for tuning in to this week's episode, where I'm going to sit down and talk to the hottest free agent in professional wrestling today. He is the one and only Luke Hawks. Before we jump into the meat and the potatoes of the show and our discussion with Luke Hawks, I just want to tell you thanks to our sponsors again. We got two sponsors now. We just brought a new one on board this week. Our original sponsor still there, TNA's Wrestling Palace, which is located in Grand Prairie, Texas at Traders Village. For those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you can also check them out on Facebook at TNA's Wrestling Palace and on Twitter at TANDASWRESTPALC. Even if you're not in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they will ship to you, so give them a call at 682-561-6966. Remember, TNA's Palace has all of your wrestling memorabilia needs, such as replica belts, toys for the kids, you name it, they have it. Check them out. They help us out, so please support them. Also, I want to say thanks and introduce you to our newest sponsor, which is Better Choices. Let me give you a little bit of background about Better Choices. Better Choices was co-founded by healthy lifestyle coaching duo Eric and Malika Beal of New Orleans, Louisiana. When it comes to healthy lifestyle tips, recipes, meal planning, motivation and support, or personal healthy lifestyle coaching, Better Choices is the vehicle to get you there. Whether your goal is to lose 10 pounds or over 100 pounds, trust me, Better Choices can help you get it done. Eric and Malika both have traveled that road. Combined, they've lost over 300 pounds, and that was 9 years ago when they did that. We all know, for the most part, losing weight is not the challenge. The challenge is generally keeping it off, and that's something that Eric and Malika at Better Choices have perfected, I should say. So connect with them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest at Better Choices CEO. You can also visit their webpage for more information, and that's www.betterchoices.co. One of the things about Better Choices that I really, really enjoy is, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say I lost my 100 pounds that I've kept off for years now through Better Choices, but essentially the plan that they use and how they go about the way they devise their plans for their clients is pretty much what I do and how I keep my weight off, along with the, you know, healthy lifestyle overall, which is dieting and exercising. So thanks again to Better Choices for their sponsorship. We appreciate it here at Booking the Territory. So like I was saying in the opening, I got the hottest free agent in wrestling today. I sat down with him. He's an old friend of mine. We've been knowing each other for a very long time, and that is Luke Hawks. If you don't know who Luke is by now, you probably haven't been following much wrestling whatsoever. So Luke and I just sat down, and I wanted to shoot the bull with him. We talk a lot via text message and whatnot, but I haven't talked to him on the phone in a while. And Luke's a good dude, man. He recently just worked for Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling. We pretty much shot the bull and talked a little bit about what he had going on with that. And I also asked him what he knew related to Jeff Jarrett and how that could affect TNA along with Global Force, since Jeff had made an appearance in TNA recently and talked about it. When we shot this interview, really much wasn't known, and I don't think right now much is still known. All we know is there seems to be some type of future, but what those specifics are, we don't know. Also, I believe when we talked, Luke was going to head out that next weekend for the Tier 1 show that was being held, and Luke came home with the gold from Tier 1. He is their inaugural champion, if I understand correctly. So this episode was recorded just prior to that. So congrats, Luke, again. I told you via text, but I just want to say it over the airwaves in public. Hey man, congrats. Good job on taking that title home. One of the biggest things that I do want to plug is Luke is the owner, operator, and one of the biggest stars for his promotion in New Orleans called Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, which is a huge promotion, or it's turned into a huge independent promotion. They are putting upwards of 1,100, 1,200 people in the building at almost all of their shows. It is impressive. I have been to about 4 of their shows at this point, and I can sit there and tell you they are packing the house, and it is extremely good entertainment and professional wrestling. It's just top notch of what you'll see on the indies. They can keep pace with the big boys down there. Very impressive promotion. So Luke has done a great job with that. All of his students have done a great job. Their next show is coming up on August the 15th at the Shamrock Bar and Grill in New Orleans. This show is a little bit different than most of theirs. It is it's an adult only show, so they got some special things planned. He really couldn't tell me a lot about it at this point because he didn't want to let the cat out the bag, but just know they have a lot planned and it's going to be a really, really special show. So if you're in the New Orleans area or anywhere around, make the drive, go over there, August 15th, Shamrock Bar and Grill in New Orleans. Check out Wildcat Sports and Entertainment. On that card, they got ECW original Sabu, Stevie Richards. Luke is also on the card. Tracy Smothers is on the card, along with the rest of the Wildcat Sports and Entertainment crew, which is an impressive roster of independent guys who really are top-notch. Last thing I want to say, Luke and I have known each other for a number of years. I've watched him grow and become one of the greatest workers on the indie scene today and on the wrestling scene in general. I firmly believe he deserves a chance to be in the big league, so to say. But even if he's not, he's got a lot going on. His promotion's got a lot going on. Luke, congrats on everything you've built down there. I tell you this all the time in private, and I'll say it publicly. You got it going on, man. Keep it up. I'm proud of you. Impressed with everything you've accomplished. And I'll just leave it at that, man. Good job. So all that being said, hey, make sure you're following us on Twitter at Mike504Saints is my personal one. And the BTT podcast page is at BTT_podcast. And don't forget to give us a like on our Facebook page, Booking the Territory. You should be able to find it with ease if you just search Booking the Territory. Other than that, hey, that's about it. Let's go over and get to that interview with Luke Hawks. Oh, before I forget, after the interview and discussion I have with Luke, keep in mind, Doc and I have the review portion of the show, and we're getting tons of listener questions. I'm very impressed by that. Keep them coming to my Twitter, along with the BTT podcast page Twitter. We will answer all of them. That is a guarantee, and that is a promise until we start getting hundreds in the box. So help us build the show. Follow us on iTunes. Just search Booking the Territory. Click the subscribe button. That way you get all the newest episodes. That said, let's get to my discussion with the one and only Luke Hawks.
Okay, everybody, I got Luke Hawks on the line right now, a good friend of mine from a long time ago. If y'all don't know who Luke is by now, y'all just ain't been watching wrestling, in my opinion, especially on the independent scene. He is one of the hottest independent wrestlers there is today. The dude's made a big name for himself all through his own hard work, dedication. He's got a lot going on, so he gave me some of his time tonight. Luke, what's up, man?
What's up, man? What's up, Mike? Thanks for having me on, bro.
Oh, bro, you know, we go back a long ways. So, actually, I wanted you on before anybody else, but I know you're busy, man, with Wildcat and everything else. So, trust me, I appreciate your time.
You know how it is. It don't stop. Everybody thinks, you know, if you're a wrestler, that you just go wrestle a match and then you don't work besides that, you know. So, I wish it was that simple. But, you know, I love what I do. I'm happy.
Being busy is, you know, a blessed thing.
I hear that. I hear that, man. I don't blame you there. All right, so we're going to get started hot and heavy, man, because I'm sure people want to hear, or they've already heard a bunch of what you had to say about Extreme Rising from a while back. I don't really want to talk about it because I know there was some heat there between what was going on, but I saw a recent post today about Extreme Rising and selling some DVDs, and I don't know if you – go ahead and tell me – go ahead and talk about that and the first thing that came to your mind when you saw that.
You know what's crazy is that subject still keeps coming up. That's what's crazy
right.
about it all, you know, after so much time. And the guy's got the nerve to try and, like, hustle more money when this dude owes so many people money. He ripped so many fans off. He still hasn't refunded fans the tickets. He still hasn't paid, the wrestlers and building that he owes. So, like, the guy's so far in the hole, and he's been ducked off the map. He's trying to make a, you know, last-minute desperate dash for some cash, I guess. And you know, who knows? He's probably getting evicted out of the house again, a different place, or his ex-old lady's probably trying to get him for child support, so he's probably struggling. So instead of going and getting a real job like everybody else has to do, you know, and work and pay bills, he's trying to hustle fans out of more money. So, you know, I would hope that nobody goes out there and buys the DVDs and stuff. I would hope that people go, hey, I'm not going to give this guy money. He owes tons of money to fans, tons of money to wrestlers, and et cetera. You know, so it's really not much to talk about. It's just crazy that this guy keeps popping up, and, you know, everybody knows what he's done. So I would strongly urge everybody not to support it.
Yeah. No. And that's what I wanted to talk about because, or that's why I asked you, because the dude's already got a track record of ripping people off, but he has no problem, obviously, with posting online. He's got, now got DVDs for sale to try to make more money or rip more people off. It just kills me because you see that too much in the wrestling business, you know, with promoters ripping people off, and that's what makes it hard for guys like you and people who are actually out there trying to do it legitimately without ripping people off and actually trying to do business the right way. You know what I mean?
Exactly, man. It's a constant hustle, and you know, you have so much to deal with. So that adds to it when you have scumbags like that who you obviously give it a bad name.
Yeah, yeah. He just, you know, for people that are listening to this, this dude's just one of many. He's one of many that are out there scheming people, scamming people. So, you know, we're going to single him out because he keeps posting stuff. But I want Luke to talk about it because he's had some experience with the dude and just kind of goes to show you, man. And as in every business, you have some shady people.
If people don't know what we're talking about, they can easily, you know, Google it and go back and do the research and, you know, see what happens. It's just, you know, basically a promoter that canceled shows, you know, not one, not two, not three, several shows, went to, you know, and the shows he ran, never paid guys for it. So that's the bottom line. And why people continue to work for him is beyond me. That's why I was one of the, you know, not one, I was the first guy to pull out.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. You were the first one to pull out, and a bunch of others followed too, and then it kind of crumbled right after that. So, interesting. Okay, I couldn't do this interview or conversation without asking you about I haven't heard much about this lately, but I'm going to ask it now. What's up with you and AJ Styles?
Same old thing. Dude's ducking me. You know, same old story. Same old song and dance, bro. People want to say he's the best in the world, and we can't, you know, you can argue all day and say who's, you know, the best and who's this and who's that, and I won't deny that the guy's not talented. But is he a great wrestler? No, I think he's. I think his reputation far exceeds who he really is and what he can really do and his abilities. I will not deny that he's not that he's talented. Is he talented? Yes. Is he one of the greatest or is he one of the best right now? Not by a long shot. You know, you're not the greatest wrestler. You're not the best wrestler if you got to handpick your opponents and figure out who you can have good matches with. You know, and get promoters.
Yeah,
you know, like that's not to me. I don't ask promoters. I never ask a promoter when they try and book me. Hey, well, you know, put me in there with this guy. Put me in there with my friend. You know, let me wrestle Chris Daniels, who's a phenomenal talent. Let me wrestle Chris Daniels, so I know I'll have a good match. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like I go out there and I wrestle whoever they book me against. I mean, pretty soon, my next show is in Queens, New York, next Friday night for Tier 1 Wrestling. And I'm wrestling a four-way match against Speedball Mike Bailey, Rude Boy Riley, and Tommaso Ciampa. And I've wrestled Tommaso before. I've never wrestled the other two and don't really know much about the other two. I mean, I heard their names, but, you know, never really seen any matches on them. But I didn't tell the promoter, hey, I've never heard of these guys. I've never seen these guys. You know, put me in there with, you know, such and such, so I know it's a good match. And I'm going to go in there and work my ass off. So,
When is it again? I saw the Tier 1 deal
on this next Friday.
Next Friday?
Yeah, this is next Friday. Yeah, it's my next show. We're off this weekend. It's July 4th weekend, so there's not much going on.
All right.
I'd rather stay
home
with my family, you know?
I ain't mad at you. By the time this airs, that would have already taken place, but it's good to know. That way I can follow up with you and give an update on future episodes. But, no, I hear you about AJ Styles. I respect the dude. I can't sit there and say he can't work, but, you know, you got some other inner dealings where – You know different things, and like you mentioned, and the guy talks. It seems like he sounds like he wants to.
Handpick
who he works.
He keeps ducking. You know, it wouldn't be a problem if you actually wrestle me. If you, you know, I've never ducked any opponent. I never told somebody I'm not wrestling that guy. You know, I've never said, oh, I'm scared of that guy. I'm not going to wrestle him. And that, to me, that's just BS. Why would you? You know, it's wrestling. It's not ballet. So,
I mean,
a promoter, like, there's been several times where promoters have booked this and he's weaseled his way out of the match, which to me is BS.
No, I hear you, man. I hear you. Yeah, because y'all were booked against each other about a month ago, huh? Maybe a little longer?
Yeah, probably. No, it was a little longer than that. Yeah, it was probably about 3 months ago. That was Yeah, that was the last one in North Carolina for AML.
All right, he pulled out of that, right?
And he pulled out. He wrestled. He ended up wrestling Sonjay Dutt. I wrestled Gunner, his buddy, and he wrestled Sonjay Dutt because he refused to wrestle me. And, you know, it was all good. And, you know, last minute things kept changing. Like, we thought the match was going to happen, and he pulled out last minute, and I didn't even see him. You know, we didn't even cross paths. He made sure to have his own locker room and make sure he's away from me and all that BS. It's just, you know, and I'm not the type of guy, like, just because I don't like somebody, I'm not going to go start a fist fight with him in the locker room. It's not like he banged my old lady. It's not that seriously. You know, it's not that serious.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a personal, you know, it's a wrestling that's a business thing. It's like, you're not the best. In order to be the best, you have to go out there night after night with different guys and perform to, you know, best of both abilities and, you know, succeed. And you're not doing that. And you never did do that. You know, you're stuck in the same circle with the same guys, and you were put on a pedestal your whole career. You weren't working your way up from the bottom to the top. You were hand-fed your whole career. So that doesn't, you know, to me, that's nothing.
No, I hear you. And before I start getting hate mail about this, because I get a couple of messages here and there about when I have guys on that like to speak their mind, and they'll say, oh, well, you're only hearing one side of the story. Brother AJ Styles can come on this show at any time. That's all I'm going to say.
That's
ain't
right.
Nobody saying nobody can't come on.
He probably doesn't have time for you, though, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure he don't. I'm not on a Christmas card list. I don't know the dude. So, I mean, you know, that's neither here nor there. But my point is, you know, because I get things. Some people come on the show, and they're like, oh, well, you know, you heard one person's side. Let's hear the other. Well, hey, man, come on anytime and talk to me, dude.
You can email Bill Behrens, go to his website and look at Bill Behrens' website. I think it's Showbiz Inc. or something like that. Or I don't remember what it is, but look up Bill Behrens' email address or his Facebook or whatever. Excuse me. Send him a message and say, hey, I'd like to interview AJ Styles, and that's his agent, and see what he says.
10-4, I got you. So y'all heard it here first, man. That's a deal with AJ Styles and Luke Hawks, but anyway. I will, if there is a problem, I keep getting hate mail like that, trust me, I will reach out to him and see what happens. We'll go from there. All right, next thing I want to ask you about, because I know you weren't watching TNA, because I know you did. Well, I know you're this huge TNA fan. That's an old rib. Cause, anyway, so we won't say that. But so I caught it on DVR when Jeff Jarrett came out for Global. And, I've been knowing you for a long time, and my immediately thought, when I saw Jarrett come out on TNA a while ago, he walks out with the Global shirt on. The night he did that, it wasn't but 4 or 5 days earlier, you were working for Global in, where was it, Mississippi? I can't remember.
Yeah, in Jackson, Mississippi.
Jackson, that's right.
Shows.
Second set of shows. So first thing I thought was, damn, you know, I'm starting to think to myself, man, my boy might be into something here. Of course, all this is preliminary. We don't know where things are at. We're recording this on July 4th weekend. So, you know, nothing's really been announced. Jarrett, all he said the other night was there's definitely a future between Global and TNA. What the hell that means, none of us know. But I'll let you share your thoughts or whatever you think about the issue and what's going on possibly with that. And if it's nothing, that's cool too.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, TNA has a lot of talented guys, no doubt. And, you know, Jarrett's kind of working with everybody's work. He's got guys from Ring of Honor. He's got guys from New Japan. He's got guys from Wildcat. He's got guys from East Coast, West Coast. So he's got guys from overseas in, like, England and stuff. So there's so many different guys on his show. It's kind of like a super, super federation with no ties, I would say. I would guess. You know?
I agree.
So there's nothing negative about that. You might be able to see a match against, you know, a guy from Wildcat and a guy from New Japan, like what just happened when I wrestled Luke Gallows. You might be able to see a guy from Ring of Honor against a guy from, you know, wherever, you know, from England that you might not see. So he's got guys coming up from Mexico, from AAA and stuff. So it's really a good deal. I really hope they do well. I know there have been some slack and some people, you know, talking smack about the crowd attendance, but it's just getting up off the ground. They haven't had any TV deals. You know, they're running baseball stadiums, which is tough because they're so big. You know, you can have 1,000 people there and it's going to still not look crowded. So I really don't know Jeff's deals with the stadiums, but, you know, I think he's got a good opportunity. And Jeff's not a stupid guy. I can tell you, Jeff's a smart promoter. He's been around a long time. He's got a good track record. So I don't think Jeff's in this to lose money or, you know, or waste his time. So I think whatever Jeff is doing and whatever business plan he has, he'll succeed at. And I'm not saying that just because I'm working with him. I'm saying it because I know Jeff. Jeff is, you know, a smart business guy. And that's one thing I didn't learn about Jeff until I got older and got into business. Because, you know, back in the day, I wasn't like a fan of the Jeff Jarrett character. And, you know, there's guys like I was, you know, I was a fan. So, like, I, you know, Jeff Jarrett was a heel and then when you start working with guys like that, you know, you work with a guy like Shane Douglas, and he's got this character, and you're like, oh, he's so cool. And then you work with him, and you're like, man, this guy's full of crap. This guy's a liar. He's delusional. He's a hypocrite. Everything he says is the complete opposite. You know, everybody he buries and says, oh, this guy does this. Chris Ledger, Shane Douglas does the same thing behind the scenes. So and then you work with a guy like Jeff, who's like this heel, and you know, like he doesn't have this like strong, I would say, character, like where it's like, you know, the number one guy back then. You know, he was like the Intercontinental Champion and stuff like that. Good heel, had the Road Dog with him. And then you work with him in business, like, you're like, man, this guy's got his, you know, he's got his shit together. He knows what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, you said a couple of things, man, and I know you ain't had time to listen to my first few shows because I'm up to, I think, 5 or 6 now. But anyway, the reason I bring that up is I actually talked about that because, I heard some criticism about the whole stadium show and how many people were there. And you and I exchanged texts, and you told me how many were there. And I've actually done a stadium show before, and those are a pain in the ass when it comes to crowds. The reason they're a pain in the ass is because you can put 1,000, you can put 2,000 people in there, and it's still going to look empty.
And so any show you do is a pain, and it's going to receive criticism. Like people just love to bash things for some reason.
Yeah.
They won't. They'll never say, oh, well, you know, it's just a start. Let's give this guy a chance. Let's do this. Let's do that. It's like always, oh, well, this guy sucks, and this guy doesn't know what he's doing, and they need to bring this guy in. We like this guy. Even though this guy can't draw, you know, put asses in seats, he's our favorite because we watch him on the internet. You know, like it's just like the fans, which, you know, there's great fans and there's hypocritical fans, and there's fans that, like, will not buy tickets, you know, support shows. They'll say, look, you know, I love House of Hardcore. I mean, Tommy Dreamer's dealing with it right now. He's got lawsuits on people because of so many people pirating his shows. So they want to see these good products, but they don't want to pay for it. They don't want to support it. They'd rather steal it off the internet, you know, instead of putting funds into it, you know, and making it to where you can bring out guys and fly out guys. People don't understand how hard it is to run a successful show. And
they don't have a clue,
And no matter what you do, they're always going to complain. They'll complain about ticket prices. They'll complain about seating. Well, I had to sit next to this smelly person. And, you know, it's like, or you shouldn't have brought this guy in. You should have brought this guy in instead because he's cool. It's just, you know, oh, flying this guy from PWG that's you never heard of. It just that the fans in PWG know. So, like, why would you fly in somebody, you know, that maybe, you know, 5% of your fans know?
Yeah,
that many. You know what I'm saying? These 10-year-old kids that are coming to your show have no idea. And I'm not singling any wrestler out. I'm just saying, if a guy is in California and he's only wrestling in California and he's not on TV and he's not only doing anything, you know, anything other than that, he may be a very talented guy. But if my show is 8, 9, 10, 15-year-olds who are just constantly, you know, plus families and parents that are probably not, you know, that's the majority of our audience. You know, we got some smart fans, but we have a very family-friendly show who mostly just know the WWE product. And we've built our product up to these guys. So why would I spend, you know, $1,000 bringing in, you know, this kid that nobody knows of when I can spend $1,000 and bring in, you know, Chris Masters, who they've seen on TV? You know, like it just doesn't – unfortunately, that's the way the business. It's not that you don't want to help people and bring guys in and bring new guys in and give guys an opportunity. It's just it's not smart business. You don't want to lose that money, you know, because then you're taking a loss.
Oh, yeah, man. I get it. And that's what's funny about the whole global deal because – everybody's criticizing, and that, you know, they want to go off this first show. Oh, it looked like it. I heard people go, oh, it wasn't 100 people there. I'm like, man, I seen a picture where I could have counted 100 people. Don't let the vastness of a baseball stadium fool you into thinking that there's nobody there. I have done stadium shows myself, and I can tell you there was one I did. There was a good 750 people there one time, and it looked like they had 50 people there because – you're in the end. It was at a football stadium. You're in the end zone at a football stadium. I mean, you can't. It doesn't look like anybody's there because it's vast. It's huge. Unless you're WWE and WrestleMania, where you got 60,000 people there and it looks like it, it's just not going to look right. I wasn't critical of it. I read reports. Man, it sounded like it was a good show. You told me it was a good show what Jared put on, and then you know it leads into kind of what I want to talk to you about with Wildcat. You know, you got to build it. It's got to start somewhere, right?
Right. I mean, and we started with 200 people. You know, we started with 200
I remember.
People and built our way up
I remember.
To, you know, 1,500 people, 1,000 or 1,500 people a show. So it's like it's a stepping stone. You have to build. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, we just made 4 years. We just passed our 4-year mark. And
yep.
We've had a lot of trial and, you know, tribulations in that time. We went through a lot of guys, you know, some have, you know, majority have left, you know, some have stayed. So I'm talking student-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had guys who've been loyal since day one, wrestlers who, you know, wanted to help us start now because they wanted their opportunity. And those are the guys I'm really good to because when they first came in, they busted their ass to put out a good show and put out a good product, and everybody did that and came together. And, you know, the ones who were selfish or just didn't get that stardom right off their back or didn't get the belt or didn't get this, you know, they didn't last. They didn't last at all. So, like, it's guys like Mike Dell who've been here since day one. It's guys like Steve Anthony. These guys have been there since day one. It's guys like Matt Lancey. You know, they've been there. They've put the work in Buku Dao. They've worked so hard to build Wildcat.
Yep. No, and that's what I was going to ask you, because you just hit 4 years with it about a month or two ago, right?
Right, right. And in June, the 1st of June, it was like the middle of June, we hit our 4-year mark. So and it's a blessing the last 4 years. I mean, a lot of companies don't make it past 1 or 2 years. So, you know, to be a small business owner and to make it 4 years and have our school up and running and doing well and have our shows gradually growing, we're lucky. So,
amen.
I'm happy,
amen.
And I just look forward to getting bigger and better and giving more guys opportunity.
So, man, I don't think you ever told me this, so I'm going to ask it. I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What made you start Wildcat? Like, just, you know, you've been thinking about it for a while or what?
Well, I've always thought about it. I always wanted it. And, you know, the time was right when I did start it. The South needed it. There was no wrestling in the South, no real true wrestling. So it was time to revive the South and put out a good product, especially in, you know, Louisiana. And I had the means to do so, and I could. So I won't tell you it was easy. You know, there was many sleepless nights, lots of money, and, you know, it's tough. It's still tough. It's tough to keep it going, and you always have to one-up yourself. You can never go, oh, we did great this show. We need to, you know, okay, we can let off the gas a little bit. You know, take your foot off the pedal a little bit, and let's just coast. You can't do that.
Right.
It's like, okay, we got to outdo this show now. Man, we just kicked ass this show. We had, you know, massive crowd. Everybody did great. Now, you know, how do we top that? And then you got to figure out how to top that. And it's every show.
Yeah, you're right about that. I remember, you know, I've been to a few, and I remember being at the one with that Matt Hardy was at. And I'll be damned if that crowd wasn't hot the whole night. There was not a match on the card where people were just sitting on their hands. I mean, and this is a shoot. I ain't bullshitting anybody. I mean, just every fan there that night was into it. And I remember we got on the phone after, and you said to me, man, it was great, but now I got to figure out how to top it.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about Wildcat is that, you know, our fans are phenomenal. They are loud the whole night. So when people come out from out of town, like all these superstars that have been around for years, they come here. I mean, Stevie Ray came out of retirement. Stevie Ray came out of retirement because he came to one of our shows because Booker got called. This is how this happened with Stevie Ray. I know Stevie. I know Booker. You know, we work together. And Booker was booked for our show. And WWE, it was Royal Rumble or SummerSlam weekend. I forget what weekend it was. Booker was booked, and he assured me he'd make it. Everything was fine. Well, they ended up filming a documentary with him, and they pulled him last minute and needed him up to fly out early. So I was like, damn, what are we going to do? He goes, hey, I'm going to have Stevie come down. So, you know, well, of course, I knew Stevie. Stevie never had been in a Wildcat show, though. He knew about what we were doing and everything. Stevie came, and he seen it, and he was like, God damn, this is phenomenal. He's like, man, I want to have a match here. You know, he's like, before I hang it up, you know, he was retired. He said, before I can't go anymore, man, you know, I would love to come out of retirement and have some matches with some of your guys here. So, and you know, that's a huge honor. That's a huge honor to have a guy who's been out of the business for 10 years, you know. I mean, he stays hot and everything, but, you know, he hasn't wrestled a match, hasn't done anything other than stuff with his brother, you know, and say, hey, I want to come out of retirement and wrestle here. You know, it's not like, hey, I'm desperate for bookings. I need your money. It's like, I want to be a part of what y'all are doing. This is so good. I want to be a part of what y'all are doing.
So, you know, I've had several guys. I get calls from guys all the time, even guys in WWE. They watch our product, and they say, man, I wish I could come down there and work for you. Man, and that's an honor. It's nice because you want guys like that. You don't want guys who just want to come in and get paid a couple thousand bucks. You know, want to come make an easy couple thousand bucks. You want guys who are like, hey, you got some talented guys in there. Let me come help those guys out. Let me give them my experience to get in the ring with them. And let me, you know, soak up what y'all are doing down there.
Amen. And that says a lot, too, dude. I mean, you got guys like that. Been around the world working everywhere. And say, hey, man, I want to come down here.
Yeah, and yet some people hate us. It's amazing. I won't say worker-wise. You know what I'm saying? Or family-wise. I'm saying people who are, like, envious of us or jealous, like, locally, other federations. And it's like, we don't do them nothing. We don't cause any conflict with them. They just, you know, it's like, how can you get mad that we give guys opportunity and that we, you know, we bust our ass to have a good show and promote a good show? And, you know, we're out there, we're flying and we're selling tickets and we're, you know, I'm out there. I'm the promoter. I'm the wrestler. I'm out there putting posters up, you know. I'm traveling around the world, and in my spare time, I'm out putting up posters and doing this and doing that and hustling sponsors and, you know, just always, always working.
Yeah, you busting your ass, man. I'll tell you that much. I know that for a fact. I mean, you're doing what you need to do to make it grow, and I know it ain't easy, man. I know it takes a lot of time, but I'm pretty sure it's worth it.
No, it's definitely worth it, especially, you know what the biggest thing for me is? It's worth it when I can have fans go home happy, and they write me and tell me how much of a good time they have, and it's worth it when I have wrestlers tell me how great of a time they have and how much they look forward to coming here. It's like if you can help those guys out and give them opportunity and make it worth their while, then that there's no, you know, it's not about the money. It's not about the paydays. Of course you want to get paid. Of course you got to make money to succeed. But it's more like when you can be that personal with somebody and fans appreciate it and wrestlers appreciate the opportunity, then that makes it that much better.
And I'm sure they appreciate it, or they wouldn't keep coming back a thousand at a
right,
time,
right.
Dude.
Oh, exactly.
So with that said, as much as you can disclose, whatever that is, what do you see? You got any big plans for the future?
I mean, I've got my hands in a lot. So nothing signed and sealed, so I can't go out there and say, hey, we're going to do this. But, I mean, we're working on expanding to bigger venues. Of course, we'll still do our home shows at Meisler and stuff, but we're working on expanding. Of course, we want to grow. We're working on TV. We're working. And I don't know, you know, I can't tell you any of this is going to happen for sure. I can tell you I'm working on it, and I got people interested in it. And, you know, we just ran our first show in California last month. So June 13th, we had our first show in California, which was a major success. We packed a house there, you know, and that's 1,800 miles away. So, you know, we got a little working trade with Mexico going on right now. We're doing some stuff with some independents in Mexico, and we're bringing in their guys, and they're bringing in our guys, and, you know, that's going well. So guys are getting some international exposure. There's a lot of work in the books. You know, we just signed a couple long-term big sponsors, you know, so that, of course, that's a little more money coming in to help with other things. So, you know, hopefully we just keep expanding, man. That's the key. I'm not trying to be competing against Vince McMahon. That's not my goal. You know, I'm not worried about what any other wrestling promotion is doing. That's not my goal. It's just every time I'm out here to have a good product, a good show, send the fans home happy, and the wrestlers be happy. And then, look, I'll be all smiles either year.
Yeah, no, and if you keep doing that, man, that's where it's going to grow. It's just going to keep growing, keep getting bigger. I mean, you know, like you said, you went from 200 fans in the beginning to 1,100 now, and, I mean, it's just steadily growing. That's all you can keep doing, right?
That's it, man. And, you know, what other promotions are doing that? I can't tell you any. You know, there's some good promotions out there. Pro Wrestling Syndicate in Jersey is a good promotion. You know, they're running constantly, and they're drawing big crowds. I know Vendetta Pro in California does good.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy on Wrestling in Minnesota does good. MCW, Maryland Championship Wrestling, does great over on in Baltimore. So, you know, there's only a handful of good federations. AML is doing good out in North Carolina. The Mid-South, Mid-Atlantic Legends Convention, which used to be the NWA Legends, you know, they always draw a big house and they do well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of big things, which I'm going to be on at the end of July again. I did it last year. I'm looking forward to going back to that. So there's a lot of big things going on and good, you know, options for the fans to have. I think next week or soon, I know in New York they have PWS has a show with Rey Mysterio on it. They have NXT, and they have, I think, Ring of Honor, like
all in the same night around the same area within a couple hour driving distance. So, like, the business has definitely picked up. There's a lot of options out there. There's a lot of good wrestling. A lot of guys are working. A lot of people are staying busy, and that's a very good thing.
Yeah. No, no. I listened to a few podcasts myself, and actually when I'm at work, and I heard one that your buddy, Shane Helms, was on. He was on with JR a few months back, and he said – and Helm said,
Omega's doing great.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But what I was saying was Shane Helm said, he's like, JR, man, he's like, man, there was a time when the independents weren't doing good. He's like, but hell now, man, I go to these independents, man. He's like, they got a bunch of independents out there that are tearing it up, man. He's like, you know, good shows, packing a house, you know, hot crowds. He goes, man, then, you know, people that wouldn't know because they don't see these guys on TV all the time. He's like, you just don't realize it, man. Some of these independents are hot right now.
Yeah, they got talented wrestlers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talented wrestlers.
Well, I think you even said that one time. You put it on Facebook or Twitter or something. You're like, man, they got so many talented wrestlers out there. I just don't have enough slots to put people in, to bring them in.
Dude,
I mean, there's people out there I'd want, but I just can't bring them.
Exactly. I hate it because I get so many guys hitting me up, like, wanting the opportunity to work here. But I got, like, 35, 40 guys now. And there's, you know, I don't have spots for every guy I have. So it's like I got to rotate these guys, and I can't – it's tough for me to even rotate them. So it's hard because, you know, you hate to – I remember when I was a young wrestler and I was trying to get bookings and I was trying to get my name out there. I hate telling guys, hey, I don't have anything for you. Hey, I don't – you know, I can't use you. I'm sorry. Hey, you know, even guys that aren't that good, like that have potential. There's a lot of guys that have potential and that, like, you can work with them and they can get better. I can't get to right now unless they're coming to my school and training and paying for it because we don't have slots for guys on the show. You know, of course, our first slots are going to go to Wildcat students. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, first slots are, of course, go to our Wildcat students because those are the guys that are there every day killing themselves to get better. So then comes the outside guys, which, you know, we got, like I said, we got the, you know, the Rudy Russos and the Mike Dells and the Ricky Starks coming in from Texas and Shane Taylor, you know, Ray Rowe, those guys.
Yep. I've told you this a bunch of times, dude. I don't know how you do it. I mean, because from top down, the roster's stacked. I mean,
we're bringing guys from Mexico. We got in Bestia 666 and Ray Horace, who was formerly El Hijo del Rey Mysterio. So, you know, these guys are just tearing it up, and they're loyal to me. And by loyal, I mean, like, they would do anything I ask them because they want to come work here. And it's not because they need a payday, because they can be working all over Mexico, all over wherever, getting these other opportunities. They put Wildcat as their first priority because they enjoy coming here and working at this promotion. So, you know, if they have something else, they'll be like, hey, I would rather do your show. So let me see what, you know. If I go to a guy with the NES, if it's a bigger payday for him, like the other place, they'd rather just come here because that, you know, and that says a lot. And I don't ever ask a guy to cancel off a book. I don't say, hey, you got this thing canceled off. They're like, no, I've been with you longer. I'd rather do your show. You know, I have fun at your shows and, you know, you're my friend. And, you know, and they're like, so they'll take less money to come to me. And I'm not saying like that I cheat them or I jew them or anything. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean.
Yeah. It's like they make this their priority, which is great.
No, I hear you, dude. I mean, as somebody who worked indies for a while, and yeah, you're right. I mean, if there's you know, a promotion you'd rather work for, and who cares if they're paying you a little bit less? I mean, as long as it's reasonable, you're more willing to go there. Because at the end of the day, I mean, you know, you go out there to get paid, but I tell anybody, back when I was working, I wanted to have fun. And if I wasn't having fun, then what was the point?
You want to have fun, and you want to be around people you enjoy being around.
That's
you
right.
Know,
exactly.
If you're going to, if you have a job and you're making good money and you hate your job, you know, most people come home and complain. They could be making a ton of money. They hate their job. They want to get out of it. They look for something else. They look for something, you know. So
I hear you on that. Well, look, so real quick, we went over Wildcat and everything. One of the things is I had on a Shalmation Sensation. Did he tell you?
No. I think you told me you were going to have more. Dude, honestly, these last, like, 2.5 months have been hectic for
crazy.
Me. Like, I don't know anything that's going on TV. I don't know, you know. If I don't read about, you know, gay people having all these rights and black people hating the rebel flag on Facebook, then I don't know what's going on. So,
dude, that's the news now, man. Everybody's on there. Everybody's up in arms. Everything offends everybody. You know how it goes.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yep. Yeah, I'm sure this podcast will offend somebody.
Oh God, it will. Trust me. Yeah, you wouldn't believe it. Just a few I've done so far. Some of the messages I get on Twitter and Facebook. I'm like, oh, are you serious? Okay, whatever. But hey, no, the reason I brought him up was I had him go ahead and plug the August 15th show at the Shamrock Bar. It's August 15th, right? Shamrock Bar and Grill, New Orleans.
Yep, Saturday night.
Okay. All right, so Wildcat presents X-Rated, which is a first, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, where it's an adult-only show, right?
Yes, 21 and up, 21 and up. And people ask, oh, what are y'all, you know, this dumbasses ask, you know, what are y'all, what is it, a porn show? Yeah, it's a porn show for wrestling. Are you that dumb? No, it's a 21 and up. It's called X-Rated because it is a 21 and up show. It's our first ever 21 and up show. That's because Shamrocks requires you to be 21 to go there. We will be
the
serving
bar,
alcohol.
Right.
It will be our first alcohol-served show. We've never had a show that where we served alcohol at. So this is our first one. Jägermeister is sponsoring it. This company called Smoke Signal is sponsoring it. It's going to be a great event. It's also called X-Rated because we're going to have ECW stars there, which everybody, you know, seems to love, and it's a stigma in pro wrestling that people just won't let off of. You know, they love that hardcore era. So we got Sabu coming in for the first time. We have Tracy Smothers coming in for the first time, and we have Stevie Richards, who works for us regularly.
Yeah.
Plus a lot of
I
other surprises.
It.
So, you know, this show is going to be, you know, not for the kids. So that's you want to know why it's X-rated? It's because it's not for the kids. We got some special surprises planned. We have some good things going on. All the guys are excited about coming in and working in. So we're going to offer something different than we do at our family shows. We'll return to our family shows in September. So, you know, and I've got some complaints. Oh, man, why can't we have kids there? Why are you having a non-kid show? And, I love the kids and I love our support, sometimes you have to have special shows like things like this are happening. You know, I haven't got that much slack about it. I've got more of people excited about it than I've got slack. You know, people are like, oh, dude, we're really looking forward to this show. So, you know, some people have complained about the ticket prices going up a little bit, but that comes with the territory thing. Like I said, they love to complain. Ticket prices had to go up for this show because it's a special event. You know, we don't have the regular seating that we normally have. We have limited seating. We're not going to be able to fit the same size crowd that we normally have. So, you know, of course, we got to compensate for it somewhere if people are wondering why. And if you want to see the best talent, if you want to bring in guys like Sabu, that costs money. It's not, you know, these guys aren't coming in for free, and Sabu's coming in from Detroit. He's not, you know, he doesn't live in New Orleans. I got to pay for his travel. I got to pay for his hotel. So, Wildcat does. So,
right. No, I hear you.
You know. And, you know, if people don't understand that, then I can't help you.
No, I ain't. I mean, you're going to have a segment of population that's always going to be not understanding the things. I mean, look, the deal is you got Smothers on it, you got Stevie on it, you got Sabu on it. It costs money. Thus, you have a little bit higher ticket prices, and it's a special show titled X-Rated. I'll ask you now related to that because, I mean, it looks like a good card as normal. Are there any matches that you can announce, or are we too far out at this point? If we're too far out, that's fine.
No, I mean,
that's
one match that I can announce is, you know, I mean, I wanted to get my hands on him, but Stevie Richards has unfinished business with him as well. It's going to be Socorro, who's with ROW against Stevie Richards. So they had a show at the last show, and I believe Socorro walked out of the match. I don't know, because I was knocked unconscious. So I was kind of out of it, Well, I'll get my hands on Carlos when that time comes. But right now, you know, Stevie's gonna take care of that, and you know, you never know what I might stick my nose into that night. But so we got some things planned. Of course, we're gonna have a women's match. You know, Katie Forbes will be there. Amaya J will be there. You know, Katie's got a big following already. Amaya's got a big following coming too. So those, you know, to have the women's wrestling match, that'll be really good. Danny Flamingo is gonna be there, who's a hit here. You know, everybody hates the Shamrocks Sensation. They love to hate him, I should say. So, you know,
he didn't tell you what he told me last weekend.
No.
Okay, dude. He said you need to book me because his dream is to work me in my comeback match.
Oh, okay.
Nah, I was just BSing. But no. He was cool. He was cool on the show. It hasn't aired yet, but at this point. But by the time people listen to this, they would have heard from him. So, He is.
He worked his ass off, you know.
Yeah. Amen. He's done his thing, dude. I give him that. He's on any other matches you can announce for it at this point, or are you still working on things?
I think everything's still being worked on. But I know there's some special surprises planned, so everything that you see, you know, there'll be some throw-in bonuses like we always do. So I would, you know, definitely recommend not missing the show if you can help it. And the band Mojo, who has a really good local following, will be playing right after us. So, and, you know,
okay,
we're going to stay out there and we're going to drink with the guys. The guys who drink, you know, they'll be out there and drinking with the, you know, people after. So that'll be a little good thing, something they're not used to.
Okay.
We're going to have
that's cool.
With everybody.
I would, I told the Sean Mason Sensation when I talked to him, the only thing I was mad about was on August 15th, I'm going to be out of town. So, cause I was like, man, I got to go to that one, but, man, I'm not going to make it, but that's only,
and
that's
you know, dude, I wish you could be there. And we got fans coming in from all, we got fans that fly in from Florida, fans that fly in from Texas, fans that fly in as far as Philadelphia. Brian Wolfen has been flying in from Philadelphia for our shows. You know, so
I saw that. I saw that on your either Facebook or Twitter. That dude flew in from Philly just to come to the show.
Yeah, and he's flying back in. It's just, you know, that he's a wrestling fan. And we have a few fans like that, and it's awesome to have fans flying from so far away because Wildcat has that buzz, and we have that relationship with the fans that they want to fly in and come see the show. You know, for,
dude,
for somebody that doesn't have TV and national exposure besides the internet, you know, it's great. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible, man. People flying in from all over the United States to go to shows, man. You can't beat that, man. I mean, come on. You do it for the fans, and the fact that you got fans flying in from, you know, 900,000 miles away is incredible.
Right.
It's incredible, dude. That's great. Well, look, man, you gave me a lot of your time, so we're going to wrap this thing up. So, again, that's August 15th, Saturday night, at Shamrock Bar and Grill in New Orleans. Wildcat's going to present X-Rated. Remember, it's an adult-only show. Besides Luke Parks, they got Stevie Richards there, they got Sabu, Tracy Smothers, and all the Wildcrack crew will be there. Amaya Jade, right, Luke? And
Amaya Jade, Katie Forbes, Brittany Nicole. There's so much going on. Danny Flamingo.
That's right.
Dumbass Socorro, Wildcard Jay Spade, Steve Anthony, Buku Dao, you know, all your Wildcat favorites will be there. So, like I said, with some special guests that we haven't announced, the band Mojo is going to be playing after. We'll be hanging out after, you know, hanging out. And the guys who drink will be drinking with the guys. The guys who don't drink will probably be having water with the guys. So come out, have a good time, party, have fun, and look forward to having one hell of a show.
So check them out on their Facebook page, Wildcat Sports, and then on Twitter at Wildcat Sports.
And our website, you can buy general admission tickets on our website, wildcatsports.com. VIP tables and floors sold out like as they went on sale. So, I mean, within a couple hours, all the table and floor sold out.
Damn. Man, that's cool. So, all right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on. And, man, I can't say enough, man. I really appreciate your time. I know you're a busy dude.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, man. You're my boy. You know, I'm proud of you. I mean, look at you. You've dropped so much weight. You've been in the gym. You've been killing it. You know, I'm good to see it. It's been, like I said, we've been as long as friends as we have to see you make that transformation. Because I remember when you were jacked and ripped up, and then you got the little father body, you know.
The old dad
body.
Man.
So.
Yeah, man. It's hard work, dude. It's hit the gym every morning, 4 a.m., dude, before work.
Yeah.
Get in there, get a little wet, get to work, dude. And then I do this podcast now, so it's good to know people like you that have come on. And, man, I gotta get with you about getting the other – I want to get the ladies on, not only the guys, because, I mean, it sounds like they got a pretty good following down there, and that's a big
thing. They do. So, I don't even know. I think they've each done one interview so far, so they're really not – you know, I don't know, you know, how well they'll do in the interview. I would say, you know, give them a chance because you're not going to get good unless you do more. They haven't had that opportunity to really talk yet, you know. So I would give them a chance. I would love to have the girls on, maybe both of them at the same time.
You know what? Hey, that'll work for me, man. That'll work for me.
You know how many guys' fantasy that is?
Well, based on your Facebook post and dudes trying to get at them with hooking up with them, I can imagine,
crazy.
Dude.
They are ruthless on them girls. They don't let up on them girls, man. I don't know how girls
man,
make
you know
this
how,
business. Cause
you know how dudes are, man.
Yeah, they are like a pack of wolves on them at all times.
Dude, it's incredible. All right, fans, hang tight, man. We're going to be right back in a minute.
All right, fans, we're back. It's me and Doc Turner. We're going to walk you through the review portion of the show and take the Twitter questions and Facebook questions that we got this week. We got a bunch of them. Appreciate y'all sending it in. So we're just going to go ahead and walk through those now. Doc, what's going on, man?
Hey, Mike, I need to take a minute here and talk to our many, many fans out there. Your generous heart is needed. I need to ask you guys a favor. We are recording this podcast in Mean Mike Mills' home. It's my first time here, and I got to tell you, we got to set up a Kickstarter or something to get this man a house in a better neighborhood. I guess I didn't know that people live like this in this kind of squalor and this kind of devastation. And I really feel bad for you, Mike. And so I want to appeal to all of our fans. We need to start some sort of funding scheme to get you some money to get you out of this neighborhood. And I want to apologize to everybody. If my voice gets far away from the mic at any point, it's because I'm going to make sure that my car is not being put out on blocks out on the front. And we need to hurry up and get this thing done so that I can get on the right side of town before the sun goes down. So let's get started.
Kiss my ass. We have a wrestling show to do here, so you can suck it. All right, we're gonna kick it off this week, like I said, so with the Twitter questions. But just want to say thanks again to Luke for giving me his time and conducting that interview / conversation that we had in discussion. It's pretty good. Good stuff got going on. Don't forget about the show. He's got August 15th in New Orleans at the Shamrock Bar and Grill, Wildcat Sports and Entertainment. It's 21 and only, though. Remember that. So let's get into this week and kind of what we saw and the questions we had related to it. Before we do any type of review or look towards Battleground, like I said, we're going to do the Twitter stuff. So I got a couple of Twitter questions that I need to ask, and I will give my response first. So that's Sharon at BTR Watson asks, should Seth Rollins form his own heel stable? And if so, who should be in it? Go ahead. I'll let you give your thoughts on that if you have any.
You just said you were going first.
No, I mean, I was going to ask. Hey, man, I'm tired. Answer the fucking question. Quit acting like a pussy.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think he's going to lose the belt to Lesnar at the pay-per-view. So the question is,
he didn't ask about the belt. He asked about if he's going to heel stable.
So I think he's going to still have the authority with him for a while longer. So should he have another heel stable? I'm always in favor of heel stables, so sure, why not? Who could he have? Who could Byron? I mean, who could Seth Rollins have with him? Maybe Kevin Owens?
Yeah, I like that.
Vince would probably do some racist angle where he was with the New Day and talked down to him and made him do stuff and made him do his chores and shine his shoes and shit. I don't know. I think Kane has gotten new life in his role working as corporate Kane. I thought that was pretty funny. So I think you need a big guy with him because Rollins is not a huge guy. So maybe Kevin Owens fills that job. I don't know. Maybe Ascension's kicking around. They could do something. I don't know.
Nah.
The other thing is that I think at some point you're going to have to find a mouthpiece for Cesaro. I do believe that you're going to need somebody that could talk, whether that was, you know, they tried Heyman at one point and it didn't really work, and Rollins could fill that. So if I were going to just fantasy book the territory, I'd say, what about putting Rollins, Owens, and Cesaro together? And that would give you a couple of guys that could eventually break off and challenge Rollins for the title, although I don't know if he'll have it much longer after this pay-per-view.
I actually like the Owens idea. I just hadn't given it much thought and knowing which direction they would then go with it, to be honest. But there was another guy who sent us a Twitter mention related to that. It's not a question, but he made a statement, and it said, this is from @SoulStormer. He said he needs NXT recruits for his heel stable, and I actually kind of like that. There's so much going on down there. There's so many folks down there. I don't know who I'd pick from the heel stable down there or who I'd like to bring up to do that. I think if you did do that, you're probably not going to pull them out in the current, you know, character or gimmick that they have now. But I can see that being a possibility going forward, depending on who that is. I don't know who they have like right now that they would even want to do that with. So it's a hard question. So it's a good one being that it's hard. It's funny because I was watching Blake and Murphy. I call them High Voltage 2015 in NXT. And, like, they're, to me, I could see them being good heels because, like, I watched them come out and the fans, they work good. There's nothing wrong with it, but the fans aren't buying it. So if the fans aren't buying it, then go with it and make them legit heels. I could see something like that because, like, just who they are could go along with a Seth Rollins up on the main roster. Now, again, I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm not telling you to do that, but just my opinion. I appreciate the question at BTR Watson and at Soul Stormer. At Cordell Kevin says, if WWE could sign any two wrestlers for the future, who should they be? One of them should be the dude who I had a discussion with today. I can tell you that right now. He is multi-talented and he's at that level. As far as name two, I have trouble naming two because the indies are full of the guys you don't see on a daily basis on Ring of Honor and Lucha and all these other shows, TNA. The indies are full of people that you could bring. Any two wrestlers, Eric Young, although, God, they would ruin him. I could see as somebody who they could bring up there. And of course, we're going to talk a little bit about Jay Lethal, I hope, today. Man, that guy's money. Him. He's another one. So you asked for two. I gave you three. You know, I give you Eric Young, Luke Hawks, Jay Lethal. All of them could sign and they would have a future. I don't think it'll happen. But, hey, that's just my take on it. What do you think, Doc? Two guys.
Well, I don't think that anybody that I like that works in indies or in the smaller promotions – I know it's probably their dream to be in the WWE, have their WrestleMania moment. I just don't want to necessarily watch it because, like you said, it'll water down the best parts of the things that I enjoy today. I agree with the EY. I agree with the Lethal. I would also say a guy that was there at one time would be Bram as another guy that could, and maybe even EC3, who I know was there for a while as well, as two guys that could have interesting things there. But... You know, Lethal is the guy most, even despite his lack of size, his charisma is probably the most likely to bust through and succeed in that environment, I would say.
Yeah, I would. It's just the thing with Lethal is how he works. He's such a great worker in the ring, and then he's got so much charisma, it's ridiculous. You and I were watching the stuff he did in TNA with Ric Flair all week, which I tweeted out. And if you haven't seen that YouTube clip with Jay Lethal mocking and imitating Ric Flair, do yourself a favor and go watch that 6 minutes of gold because it is simply great watching those two in that segment. There's so much talent in the ring. And, you know, I'm really kind of freaking hot about that because I told you earlier this week, it just pisses me off what TNA's doing because this week's show was not memorable in any way. I don't even remember what I watched.
I do. They showed a match from their last pay per view with two guys that are no longer with the company anymore.
Okay.
God damn.
So okay, like I was saying, I just can't. I look at that segment with Flair and Lethal back then, and I'm telling you, go watch it on YouTube. You'll freaking lose your mind out of in laughter. I watched that, and I'm like, they ruined this. I mean. There's Ric Flair in the ring with AJ Styles and Bobby Roode and James Storm and Kazarian's in the ring with him and Ric Flair. And then Lethal's on the stage and he's dropping the elbow and dropping the Ric Flair knee. And it's freaking hilarious. And I'm like looking at this segment going, all this goddamn talent they have and they let all this go. They didn't do anything with it. What the hell? Just, you know, it just kind of makes me mad. So when we start answering the question about what two wrestlers, and I think about Jay Lethal. I'm like, God, they just messed that up. The guy was, they had him. TNA had him, along with so many other people, and they're just messing it up, and it freaking hurts my feelings, to be honest with you.
Here's another thing. You know, it's one thing for you and I to watch something on YouTube and pop and laugh and giggle and cut up. But I went home and watched that Lethal Flair segment on my Chromecast, and my wife walked through. And usually when my wife walks through and looks at wrestling, it's a very short assessment from her that ends with, this is stupid.
Yeah.
And
wives tend to have that effect on
them. And she sat down and watched it, And she said, whatever happened to that guy, Jay Lethal? I think I've heard you guys mention him on the podcast, but where is he now? What is he doing? That right there tells you the kind of impact that that guy can have and get over.
Mm-hmm.
And he has ability outside of just the normal jackasses like us that watch wrestling. So, way to go, TNA. Another opportunity squandered. At least it's not the only one you've done.
Yeah, I got a track record of that, but we don't want to talk about TNA for too much longer. Kevin also asked, what current indie company becomes the next Ring of Honor, PWG, CZW, or another? So you want me to take a stab at that one since you don't really follow the indies too much?
Yeah, that's probably best.
Okay. Again, biased opinion here because it's run by one of my good friends, is Wildcat Sports and Entertainment in New Orleans. And I say that because if you've never seen their product, when you put 1,100, 1,200 people in the building, you're doing something right. Another one would be Main Event. They do a lot of stuff in Texas and in Louisiana. I'm trying to think. I mean, there's plenty of them on the East Coast as well. But if I'm going to name, you know, just two, I'm going to say definitely Wildcat Sports and Entertainment. And Main Event's still a little young. They're not as old. Wildcat's been doing it for over 4 years now. So kind of look at the longevity of it as well. I don't know if you can really put this totally in the wrestling category, but Hood Slam is drawing too. And we got Drugs Bunny coming up on a future episode along with Manimal. And I don't know, man. I always look at indies, and if you're drawing over 1,000 people to shows, to house shows,
you're doing something right.
You're doing something right because you don't have TV backing you. So that's just my thoughts on that. So, Kevin, appreciate that question. So the rest of our questions came from the Facebook inbox. So I wanted to answer this one short because this one comes across as very negative. But
all
so,
right, did I write that?
No, Brian says, what do you guys have against Randy Orton? You act like the guy isn't good or something by previous comments you've made on past episodes. So go ahead, Doc. I'll let you tackle that one first.
All right, let's get the easy stuff out of the way. Could Randy Orton kick my ass? I guess. Maybe.
He'd beat the shit out of you.
can Randy Orton fundamentally wrestle? Sure, why not? So when I say I don't like somebody or I don't want to watch them, this isn't personal. And it's not like they're as bad as that guy Goya from TNA who literally can't wrestle. So Randy Orton is technically competent in the ring. I just have no interest in watching his matches. And I don't know if it's a function of the fact that I've seen him wrestle the same guys over and over and over and over, or if it's the same matches. I don't think it's that, because Ric Flair had the same match for 20 years and I popped every damn time I watched one of them. I don't know. There's just something there that when I see him, and he's not the only guy, so I'm not picking on Orton. I've said this in the last few podcasts. It's a Ryback. It's a Big Show. It's a Mark Henry. It's a Sheamus. They all kind of fit into this category that I feel like I've seen them, and then it doesn't really interest me. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree. Like, I'm never going to downplay his work because, I mean, he's really good in the ring. He knows what he's doing, obviously. I think it's just there maybe needs to be some type of reinvention with the character that he portrays, because I think that's part of it. You know, as much as people want to knock John Cena, I guarantee you, you ain't tired of seeing him. I guarantee that. As much as you want to knock him, he's not, quote unquote, the old term we used to use when we were younger, played out. And I think that's part of the problem with some of the guys that you see up in WWE, like maybe Sheamus or Randy Orton. Not knocking them at all, but they're it's just that, like, when I sit down to watch wrestling, I don't go, oh, I got to watch that. Whereas with Cena and Kevin Owens and, you know, even, what's his name, Rusev now, I'm like, I want to see this. I want to see what's going on. So that's the difference. It has nothing to do with not liking him. It's just I kind of not interested in the storyline he's in. Maybe that's what it is. So, but you were saying something, Doc? You were about to say something?
I don't know.
Okay, figures. You don't remember shit. David, oh, this goes on. I didn't even realize this was coming up. David asked, and I don't have the ads for these because this is on Facebook. David says, so this question is from Mike. Why are you this John Cena mark? It's like you stream. It's like you swing from the dude's pelotas nonstop on the show. For those of you who don't speak Spanish, pelotas means balls.
Good job, David. Quality assessment of Mike's entire personality and character.
I don't, David, if you've listened to all of the shows, like I remember talking to Big Daddy Yum Yum, and we were talking about Cena at one point, and it's just that I think Cena knows what he's doing. He's a really good worker. And the thing about Cena, it's gold. I don't care if you put that. I want you to think about the last two programs he's been involved in, whether it was Rusev or Kevin Owens, or even go back to the three-way dance with him, Seth Rollins, and Brock. Yeah, remember those? Guess what the constant was in all of that with all of those matches getting over?
You being a freaking Cena.
So, David, that answers that question. If you have any others, hey, I love answering them. Please send them back. So, Doc, don't want your opinion because he directed that towards me. Donovan asked, and hey, you and I talked about this, Doc, earlier. Donovan said, was it just me or was the three-way match with Cesaro, Rusev, and Owens off a little bit? So, Doc, go ahead. I think we talked about that a little bit. Didn't you say you kind of thought so? That was
well,
the case?
Yeah, here's my problem this week is that my DVR didn't catch Raw, and I don't know if it was a mistake or it was a subconscious way of me salvaging my mental health. But by the time I got in front of the TV, the three-man had started. So that's where I picked up Raw this week. So I was saved from watching the first two hours, and I missed the female part, which I kind of am bummed about. But anyway, it just felt like to me that it wasn't clicking on all cylinders. Like those guys weren't. I don't like triple threat matches to begin with. I like an even number of guys in the ring. So
yeah, they're not easy to pull off. I mean, it takes a lot of skill in those. I mean, it's too much going on. I you know what's funny is Steve Austin has even said that. I've heard him say that. He's like, yeah, I don't like doing those. You got so much going on. So, yeah, I agree. They're hard to pull off. And I think it was just, I don't know. I just think it was something with the.
And I thought the ending of the match with Cesaro and Rusev was kind of weird. Like, those guys put some pretty big power moves on one another. And then the end comes with a kick to the chest. And so it felt like to me that there was a whole lot of big moves. And, I mean, Cesaro did the tilt-a-whirl move with Rusev, and that was kind of impressive and all that. And then at the end, it was just Cesaro kind of getting tumbled off the top and then kicked in the chest and pinned. So I thought it was sort of a weird, awkward ending as well.
Yeah, I don't know. It just – something did seem off. But, again, you know, they're the week before the pay-per-view, and – think about how much time they've had in between this one and the last one. It's been a long road, so maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's why it seemed kind of bland. I'm trying to see. We got a God, you're gonna love this one, Doc. So Eric from Facebook says, why was Eli Drake out there with Galloway? He's referring to TNA. Completely agree. Made no sense. And then he says, I thought the Rising was disbanded, and then on top of that, why did Eli Drake then turn on Galloway? The whole thing made no sense. Go ahead, Doc. You remember seeing that?
Hi, Eric from Facebook.
Bunch of bullshit was that, I tell you.
Well, there was some allusion to that.
It was fucking stupid.
That the guy, whatever his name, Eli, is that his name?
Yeah.
Made in the breakup speech last week.
Stupid.
But why was Drew Galloway out there in the first place fighting EC3 for the title? I don't know. I don't care. That wasn't even one of my top three biggest problems with Impact this week. He's the of the Rising. That guy's the third wheel. Drew Galloway was boring. Ming's kid was okay, but I don't know, and to be honest, I don't care. And the bigger thing to me If we're gonna talk about TNA, what we ought to talk about?
No, I don't. No, answer the question. We don't want to talk about TNA. Just stick with the question because it was so stupid. It was lazy booking, is what it was.
Well, yeah, but what? Okay, but what in TNA isn't lazy booking these days?
I don't know. We listened to Nate and Brian Mann do the live audio wrestling review and Impact, and they Nate hit the nail on the head. It's freaking lazy. Just they were disbanded. Why is he out there with him? Disbanded means you're not together anymore. Just freaking stupid. Damn, I didn't want to get this hot.
Well, hell, proceed. You're talking about the disbandingment of a group that wrestled together three times.
Now you're quoting Nate from Review and Impact, but yeah, you're right. Yeah, agree.
So the whole thing is, what you're talking about as an angle is a symptom of a larger problem here, and that's the overall booking strategy in TNA.
Yep, I can't disagree with you on that. So let's just put that one to bed. Yeah, it was dumb, Eric. We agree. Trying to see what else. So the only other thing, this wasn't a question. This was just a statement somebody sent me. It says, Sasha Banks and Charlotte. Sasha ripped part of Charlotte's weave out, and it was great. You haven't seen it yet, but when they bring these girls up to the main roster, they need to let them do their thing 16 plus minutes. That's referencing Sasha and Charlotte had went about 16 minutes on NXT's main event Wednesday, and it wasn't even one of their best matches, to be honest, but I get the point that this listener is mentioning. It was really good, and we hope that when they bring them up to the main roster, it's the same way, and they don't do like they do the Divas now where they give them 6 and 7 minutes because it's just not enough time to go out there and tell a compelling story. So you haven't seen that yet, and don't worry. But it really was good. It was good. Doc, I think you had a few questions? Go ahead.
So here's a question I have for you, Mike, and we can discuss this. This is after watching TNA, but it's actually not.
I don't want to discuss it, man. Okay.
Not, shut up. Jesus. Shut up. You'll be fine with this. Because this is actually one of the bright parts, the bright spots in TNA, and I think you agree with me. Who in today's wrestling landscape could be in the discussion to be considered a better heel than Eric Young?
I don't know. I mean, wait, say that again?
Who in the business today
could be a discussion as being a better heel than Eric Young?
Is in the shortlist discussion of being a better heel than Eric Young?
I think you can put, I'm not saying he's a better heel right now, although he kind of is in a way, now that I think about it. Jay Lethal is in that discussion. Better heel. James Storm could be a better heel if, you know, he's not booked stupidly like he was in the Revolution. Hell, Bobby Roode could be a you know, just as good or a better heel as well than Eric Young. So that's my thought.
What about, you said Lethal, right?
Lethal, yeah. Lethal, Storm, Bobby Roode, which all were in TNA at one point. I'll be damned. All that talent just squandered. Hell, Low Key's a really good heel. Aggressive, just looks like he don't take no shit in there. And they just ran him off. Just stupidity.
I'd say MVP is in that discussion.
God, Jeff, Jarrett, please come save TNA. Please, please do so. Go ahead, proceed.
Another TNA question. Is there an angle in the recent wrestling, in the recent past of wrestling, that's worse, a worse idea than babyface Dixie?
I don't know. It's just, I tell you what, she's a halfway decent actor because she was trying to push them tears out of her eyes. And I don't, you know, she fooled somebody who didn't know any better. It's just hard, man. It's hard. I don't know, dude.
There's a couple of things that I saw in that segment where they had Dixie out there that I thought was quite telling. The first is, as the show came on the air and she was standing in the ring, the camera cut past.
You're talking about MVP?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
MVP was standing there, half turned to the ring, half not turned to the ring.
Taping his wrist.
taping his wrist, disinterested in what she had to say. And boy, you talk about a picture telling a thousand words based on some of the tweets he's put out in the last few months. That was really, really telling. The other was a sort of a work shoot going on when Bully cut his promo on how the production staff and everybody else was part of the TNA family,
yeah.
Considering that Dixie has a spotty record in making sure that those people get paid.
Yeah.
The other, you know, and I don't know if you heard this.
What's that?
But, you know, there's Bully Ray standing in the ring as the new quote-unquote law of TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an article out this week with him and Devon saying they want to go back to WWE and be attacked, the Dudleys in WWE.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know. Who knows? Here's the thing. So this was what you saw Wednesday night was taped prior to 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that quote-unquote pay-per-view, if you call it one. I'd love to see the numbers on that, by the way. So it was taped prior to that. Who knows? At this point, man, they may have, you know, something may have changed. And I'd love to see them back in WWE. I would. I mean, to me, even without Cesaro and Kidd, the tag team division there, there's nothing wrong with it. It's better than it's been in years past. There's New Day. There's, hell, I buy into the primetime players. I don't have nothing against that.
Me too.
You know, I like it. You know, even with just those two teams, they haven't even been showing Los Matadores and whatnot on TV. But hell, with those two and El Torito, it's over. I can dig those. I'm not going to sit there and tell you I'd take any one of those guys individually and make them world champion, put them in the main event picture. But as a team, I buy into it. So there's a lot there.
You forgot the Ascension.
You know, hey, man, you make fun of them, but they can work, dude. They just were terrible.
I don't make fun of them. I'm just waiting for the story to come out to find out what they did backstage that got them buried so fast, so quick.
Man, I don't know, dude, but they did get freaking treated terrible. I mean, they really did. So, but, you know, I don't know. Who knows? To answer your question, I actually, you know, wouldn't mind seeing, you know, Bubba and Devon back. It can only help. I mean, look at their track record. So, you got any more questions?
I do have one, and this is one that's been bothering me for a while, and I don't have the network or NXT, so I don't see the NXT program. I know the names of a lot of those guys. I hear them on podcast, and so I'm certainly excited to see some of that talent make its way up to the roster. And so I need you to help me with something. And you know I've got to be very, very frustrated or confused if I'm actually going to ask you for help.
Come on, spit it out.
Neville.
What
am I missing? He just doesn't catch me.
No, you sound like an uneducated fan right now.
Like, I don't know what it is. Now, first of all, let me say, I am completely disinterested in this Neville Stardust thing that seems to be kicking off comic books.
I'm all right with that.
Okay.
I think it's different. I'm fine with that. I actually think if they go through with it, like I think Monday night, Stardust got the pin, and then I think on SmackDown they reversed it. Neville got the pin. So I'm okay with it if they tell a compelling story. I'm all right with it. I'm willing to give it a chance to see where it goes. They're both two good workers. So
educate me. What am I missing about Neville? Why is he not? Why am I not getting?
Well, he's an athletic, acrobatic freak, and I think the disconnect you see is because when they first brought him up, I know he worked with. I think he worked with Cena a couple times in the challenge, but when they first brought him up, I think he got pinned a couple of times. I think that's part of it. Whereas when they first brought him up, they should have threw him a couple of enhancement guys, not necessarily like jobbers, but. You know, like a guy like Jack Swagger, who now is, for whatever reason, they buried him. You know, they should have gave him something like that to go over on, and they didn't. You know, his first time out, I think he got pinned. So I think that's part of it psychologically. That's what you're struggling with.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. It's like I don't dislike the guy. It's just the buildup I had heard had me expecting something else that I don't guess that I've seen in my eyes in the ring, but
yeah,
hey, what, you know,
no, it's just how they brought it in, man. But I think if you give this current storyline a chance, I think you'll be satisfied with it. So I actually missed this question earlier from Paul. Paul wants to know, will we ever see Matt Sydal ever in WWE again? That would be a hell no. I just don't think that happens. What about you, Doc?
I agree.
Yeah, no, I just don't see it. And then, well, I don't know. I'm not going to ask this question because I heard something about Roger Strong and Jay Lethal not happening now. So we'll take that until we know something.
Gosh almighty. I think it still is on.
Okay.
But they had Rod Strong down at the in the third man in the booth on this week's episode.
Yeah, yeah. I think he did all right.
I think he needs a manager that can talk for him. Yeah. There was a whole lot of golly gee, I'm sure going to try hard to take that belt away.
Okay, so segueing now to the big event of this weekend, which is WWE's Battleground questions and predictions. So I came up with something that I thought would be kind of fun for us and the fans, and that would be, so with Battleground, on a scale of excitement and predictions, I'm going to list some of the matches, and I want you to tell me on a scale of 1 to 10 how excited you are for these matches.
1.
Hold on, ass. 1 to 10. So now 1 means you don't give 2 shits about this match, and 2 means you can't wait. So,
Wait. 2 means I can't wait? It's a 1 to 2?
I'm sorry. No. 1 means you don't give 2 shits, whereas 10, I'm sorry, 10 means you can't wait. So you know, if you're average on something, it would be a 5.
I know
you're a statistical freaking mathematician.
I know how a 10-point scale works, son.
Okay, jackass. So let's do this. All right. We're just going to we're going down in no particular order on this one. Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt. What's your ranking on that one?
I would give that a 4.
Hmm.
I believe that Bray Wyatt has a lot of to offer, but I just think it'll be a carbon copy of his last 3 to 4 angles.
Okay. I'll give that one a 7. It's not really too bad. And I'll tell you why I'm chuckling right now in a minute. It has to do, if we can actually go to this one. So the kickoff to the Battleground pay-per-view will be Wade Barrett and R-Truth. And I'm just thinking about this segment I watched the other day with him and them on Raw. And I think, if this ain't some racist shit, I don't know what it is.
God damn.
Because I love R-Truth, man. I really think he's a good dude, and he comes out there with this stupid-looking towel with handwriting on it and a freaking messed-up Burger King cap and a plunger as his scepter.
That's wet.
A wet plunger. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being you don't give 2 shits and 10 being you can't wait, how much are you looking forward to that? Short answer.
I'd say a 5 because I want R-Truth to get some sort of affirmative action suit against Vince and get paid for this bullshit.
I'm going to say an 8 on that, and it's only because I'm excited about seeing R-Truth. That's the only reason. He's got this thing. When he comes up with the wet plunger, man, it don't get no better than that. Ryback versus Big Show versus Miz.
That's
short
not
answer.
Happening.
No, I need you on 1 to 10.
It's not, that match isn't happening. Ryback's hurt.
Oh, shoot. My bad. All right, moving to the next one. Primetime players, which, you know, Darren Young, Titus O'Neil versus New Day.
I would give that a 7 or an 8. I like those two teams, and it'd be nice to see New Day get a little heat back.
Yeah, I agree. I want to see that. Then we got... Randy Orton and Sheamus.
1.
Damn.
No, I'm not. That's unfair, and I don't want to inflame our tens of listeners. That's probably a 3 or 4. Really? In all honesty, I don't want it. I don't want an internet campaign where I get the RKO from Randy Orton because people think I hate him.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to be they're good. They're good workers. I think it's just the storyline that they're involved in that people are just not interested in. At least you and I aren't. Well, you know, it's nothing disrespectful towards those two. Because, you know, I mean, Orton and Sheamus have both been involved in good things in the past. So that has nothing to do with it. I don't want people to think that I'm just, you know, taking a dump on it. But I'm at a 5 on that. And the 5 is really related to the storyline more than anything. So let's see. Cena and Owens.
I'd give that a 10.
10. And why would you say that? Just curious. I think I know the answer.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, it's the best match, has the potential to be the best match on the card again.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, just like Jim Ross used to say in 1989 in NWA, that's still the name on the marquee out there.
Yeah.
So that, from that perspective right there, I also think there will be there's a lot of interest from my perspective, and I'm pretty sure I'm not alone here, on who, if Owens can walk out with the title.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what to think about it. I'm not to make a prediction. The fact that Owens is going to fight Finn for the NXT title and there's a rematch aligned, I think that throws a monkey wrench, and I thought, what would happen with that? But I will say this, not making a prediction wise, I'm a 10 on that one. I want to see it. I want to see Cena and Owens. I think they're going to tear it up again. So they got a lot to do to tear it up, because after those, after the ones they've had already. But at the same time, I want to see it. Can't wait.
You didn't give your real reason, which is that you gave it a 10 because you can't wait for another opportunity to swing on Cena's pelotas.
Kiss my ass. And we got last one, Seth Rollins and Brock. What do you think about that one? What's your rating on it?
I'd say probably an 8 or 9, actually. I'm interested. If we're going to book this territory correctly, I think Rollins keeps the belt and drops it at SummerSlam. And you have the next month of a super duper duper pissed off Brock Lesnar that's throwing multiple car doors into stands and hurting fans and just leaving a carnage behind. Now, the interest level comes from how you get there. And I think there's a lot of interesting things you can do. Mm-hmm. Be interested to see if how the authority backs or doesn't back Rollins based on this match. So I think there's a lot of interest there. I would expect Rollins to take a grade A ass whipping for however long this goes on, and then figure some way to either get DQ'd or some other bullshit way out of it to hold on to the title.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, to be honest with you, because there's the way I can guarantee you. Well, I can't guarantee, but I'm a 10 on this one. I really want to see it, and it's because I think of the element of surprise. There's going to be something that happens that we won't expect. As much as people like to give the writers from WWE crap, they actually do a decent job. It's just certain things we do. We, you know, as fans, we want to see every angle, you know, be a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 being great. And that's just not going to happen. So I think they'll throw something here, and it'll be entertaining. I wouldn't stress about this being a bad one. So that's just my thoughts on it. Last thing. Did you like the Diva segment Monday night?
I haven't seen it.
Remember,
my
DVR.
Right.
That's right. That's right. Go YouTube it. It was great.
I do need to go YouTube it. I think it. If you've listened to this podcast, you know I'm not a huge fan of female wrestling. And let me just say this. I'm not a fan of female wrestling as it's been portrayed over the past several years. If you want to bring out Flair's Kid and Sasha and Becky Lynch and Awesome Kong and put them together and have a real athletic event, I'm on board. So it's not because they're minus a penis that I'm against them. It's because... It looks like everything's a bra and panties match, and it's a ridiculous exercise. I think Paige could get on board with that business model and grow into that role as well. But it'll be real interesting because the WWE is leveraged with Total Divas, and while the Bellas may have gotten better in the ring, that's like saying that I'm a better wrestler than I was 2 years ago too.
You can keep smacking around Total Divas, but it is the most entertaining, I guess, reality show that there is, and that's all I'm going to say. So y'all can make fun of me out there if you want, and you can send me hate mail to my Twitter at Mike504Saints. I really don't give a shit. The show is very entertaining. To prove it's entertaining, my wife, who gives two shits about the wrestling business, will sit down and watch it. So that goes to show you how entertaining it is. But anyway.
We have to question her judgment on a lot of things because she's married to you.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's hey, listeners, if you like Total Divas, tweet us at BTT underscore podcast or at Mike504 Saints.
Me and Mike here also watches Swerved.
I actually don't. My 10-year-old does though. Hey man, that's all I got. You got anything else before we wrap this puppy up and put it in a package and get it out there for all our millions of listeners around the world?
Well, let me just say this. I am no less angry with DeAndre Jordan this week than last week. And let me just tell you this. Shut up. Let me tell you this, because you will agree with me on this. This is for all my cubicle dwellers out there. Steve Ballmer made his sizable fortune out of Microsoft, and he stole my prize free agent this year. But let me tell you this, Steve Ballmer. Microsoft Office 2013 sucks a green, fat, infested dick. So shove it up your ass.
You don't like Office 2013? Neither do I. That thing damn near crashes my computer every day. All right. So with that being said, y'all got a couple of things. We want to thank the sponsors again. Thank you to Better Choices for their newest sponsorship. Thank you to TNA's Wrestling Palace. You can get to Better Choices at betterchoices.co. You can get to TNA's Wrestling Palace to TNA's Wrestling Palace on Facebook. And I'm trying to think anything else. Doc, what am I missing? I got the sponsors covered. What else do I need to cover? Oh, Twitter. So on Twitter, we got I'm at Mike504 Saints, and then the BTT Twitter page is at BTT underscore podcast. And then make sure you go to Facebook.com / booking the territory to follow us. So, Doc, what else you got?
Nothing. I was away from the mic because I was out shooing off some the kids away from my car because they were getting ready to jack it up and steal one of my tires.
Nobody's going to steal nothing. So, yeah, with that being said, man, that's going to wrap it up, fans. Hey, make sure you go to Podbean, MikeMills.podbean.com for all of our episodes as far as if you got an Android. And if you're on iTunes, just search Booking the Territory. Leave us a review, make a comment, and then we'll go from there. We appreciate you tuning in. Until next week, book it. Chill, just show you how I live. Now tell me haters ain't that fun.